and welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Fevo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am very excited today to welcome two guests to the show. First, we're going to have The Athletic's Tim Kawakami, friend of the show, incredible writer, incredible person all the way around. Come on, and we're going to talk some Brandon Ayuk. And then 49ers cornerback Darrell Luter Jr. joins the show to talk about that play in the Super Bowl, moving forward and going into his second year. So here we go. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything online sports betting. Right now, you can receive a 50% free bet of up to $250 on your first deposit to bet on anything from the Olympics to baseball to Formula One racing. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline. The game starts here. Tim, welcome back to the show. It has been a very busy 24-ish hours, I guess we can say. We're going live. The show's going to go out live on Wednesday.
I was
going to
say, it might be a very busy next 24 hours.
And it really might be a very busy next 24 hours. We're going to go live Wednesday. We're recording late Tuesday afternoon. Tim just put out a really fantastic column on the Brandon Ayuk. You're welcome. Brandon Ayuk situation. And how, if they trade him, it really is a failure on the 49ers' part. I would have to agree. Tim, how on earth did we get here?
Yeah, I think there's been some miscalculations. And I'm not saying it's not, you know, 100% the 49ers aren't paying Brandon Ayuk. It's very clearly Ayuk wants a lot of money, potentially has been moving the number himself, although I've kind of heard maybe he just hasn't budged at all. Like, this isn't, I'm not coming in, period. Maybe what he would have accepted has changed. It's like, I think it might have been right around $26 million a year, because we know, according to Brandon Ayuk, he thought it was close to a deal. This is right around May. Like, say it's the 49ers were at 26 and he was at 26.8. They could have done the deal right then. And then maybe another deal came in and all of a sudden he would have accepted 28. And then another deal came in and he would have accepted 30. I think that's changed potentially. But that's how negotiations go. That's how the marketplace goes. And that's sort of the 49ers' fault for not doing this earlier before the market gets reset and then reset and reset again. I think they've been frustrated that there hasn't been a real tangible back and forth. But that's Ayuk's call. That's his point of view. It was up to the 49ers. It is up to them. They're the ones assembling the payroll, assembling the roster, trying to win a Super Bowl, to try to figure out where is Ayuk, what is his real situation. And if you're going to trade him, you trade him in April, because that's what they figured that out real fast with DeForest Buckner, right? They figured it out before any of us, it was on our radar. We're not going to be able to sign him. In order to sign the rest of the people we want to sign, Eric Armstead, Jimmy Ward, we're going to have to trade him. They did it, got a first round pick, boom. First round pick didn't turn out so great, but at least that was the decisive move. With Deebo Samuel, they kind of scaled it around. You know what? We'll probably end up being able to sign him. They did sign Deebo Samuel after a couple days in camp. George Kittle, we'll probably be able to sign him. Nick Bosa, we'll probably be able to sign him. Now that went on and on and on and on and on. And I have written and I've said, and I finally put it in a column, I think the Bosa deal, the way that happened, is affecting this one, because they've never been beat on a contract like that. They got beat. They are paying Fred Warner tremendous money, George Kittle tremendous money. Kyle Juszczyk's first contract was ridiculous for a fullback money. Like, they've paid money, but they've never been beat in a negotiation. And Nick Bosa beat them by taking it all the way to September, by being such an essential player that they could not imagine being in week one without him in Pittsburgh. And I think Brandon Ayuk saw that. Like, you know what? If they're going to do that for him, maybe they'll do it for me. And I think the 49ers also, like, we got beat by Nick Bosa. We're not going to get beat again. We're not going to let it go. Why is this happening now, Tracy? Like, this is early. Why early August is it this panic situation, desperate, whatever you want, urgent situation? I think it's because Parag Marate and Jed York and John Lynch is in, you know, involved in this in some ways. It's like they decided they don't want to get to September, and they had to decide it now. I think it's too early for it. I think the Bosa thing is affecting their timetable. And it's just gone down a path they have not gone down before because of miscalculations on their part. Brandon Ayuk is a different kind of cat, right? I mean, he's we don't know how this has gone on from his side. His agent, who I keep saying, who is good, his agent is good friends with John Lynch. It's a very interesting dynamics there. I don't know if they're still good friends, but you know, it's, I just think it's been two parties have misread each other, and it's on the 49ers to get it right, because they're the ones who do all these negotiations. They're the ones who have these salary levels. They're the ones who are trying to win the Super Bowl. They're the ones trying to assemble a roster. Brandon Ayuk's trying to negotiate his own thing based on where he thinks this number is going to be. It's on the 49ers to try to keep their players in the fold. This one, they're very, very close, Tracy, and maybe by the time people listen to this, it's already done, but they are very close to having the Brandon Ayuk 49ers career be in the past tense. Kyle Shanahan almost talking like that, right? Almost. Mm-hmm. He was kind of down to resign today. Yeah. Also saying, I hope this is done. I hope this, we can still resolve this. I don't know. Nothing's changed. But when you let other teams negotiate with your player, Tracy, that's like 75% of a trade. That's like, you are down the road, like, we're ready to trade this guy. That means if Brandon Ayuk comes to the right terms with Cleveland or New England, and now Corey Schefter, Pittsburgh, and the first two are reported by Matt Maiocco. Great stuff. Great work on this. Then you do have to do trade. Like, it's not a bluff anymore. You have to do the trade. So they're way down the road on this, and that's a failure on their part.
It gives the vibe. It's very much the college coach. We're behind him 100%. He's our coach, and he's going to be our guy. And then the next day the guy gets fired. And it kind of feels like that is where we are. And Kyle Shanahan did sound resigned. It's a different tone than he took during the Debo Samuel negotiations, during the Nick Bosa negotiations. And I think we saw it at day one of reporting when John Lynch said there are no absolutes. There was, right then it felt like they were a little bit resigned, because as we know, last season, they were not losing Nick Bosa. And they were very clear about that. We are not going to trade Nick Bosa. I even think they were a little bit stronger on Debo, but who remembers at this point, because now so many things have happened since then. But it feels like they were a little bit stronger. And on this one, I'm just surprised, because it also kind of feels like you're so close. It's like, it almost feels like, I'm doing all kinds of analogies today. It's a wedding and you're down to the end and you're paying X amount of dollars for the wedding. And then it's just a little bit more to get the best flowers you want. And it's like, you say, no, forget it. I'm not doing it. It kind of feels like that. And this is their wide receiver one, and they're not going to get anybody as good as him. Amari Cooper is 5 years older and hasn't had a tremendous season, you know, in a while. Kendrick Bourne, I don't know. I just think this just feels like a real, as you said, a real failure, a real mistake on their part.
Yeah, this is not the way you build towards a Super Bowl. This is not. It's clearly not. I asked Kyle Shanahan the phrase, like, can you be better if you trade Brandon Ayuk? And, you know, he's like, well, he's a really good player. Like, they're not. They're going to be worse, at least for a year. Ricky Pearsall is not stepping into those shoes in year one of his career.
Stay healthy at the moment. Yeah, I mean, haven't seen that Ricky Pearsall's even going to be available.
You are weakening yourself at a time when you're supposedly all in for a Super Bowl. I think they're logically, in many ways, all in. They are not all in if they trade Brandon Ayuk for Kendrick Bourne and a second round pick. They are not. You know, maybe it cost them in week six, or maybe it cost them in the first round of the NFC playoffs. Like, these are things you do not do. As I said, the Detroit Lions, who was, you know, they played in the NFC Championship game, just signed everybody. We're signing everybody. This is what we're going to do. This is what it takes. And they've figured out how to do that. And players are seeing that. That's a place where they're gathering talent. 49ers understandably have more veteran players, have been through this longer, have higher salaries at a point right now, not hiring Penny Sewell and Amon Ross St. Brown, by the way. Jared Goff are at a point. I get it. They got the Brock Purdy contract coming. But again, the thing I say over and over again is it's kind of a false statement to think that they're doing this to save cap room because of the Brock Purdy contract next year and the year after is going to be this massive unbalancing of a balanced payroll. These quarterback contracts do not hit hard, even though they're $50 million a year. They're like 17 and 18 and even less in their first 2 years. And I think Purdy's will be less because he's coming from a non-first round contract. This is not something that's immediate. It is not. Nick Bosa, I mean, there's contracts they've got sitting. I'm not saying they're a cheap roster. I'm saying they've got $31 million in cap room right now. Mm-hmm. This is a team that makes in excess of $100 million profit every year. They hate it when I say that, but it's true. Every report, like, you can't imagine, you know, we know what those tickets cost. We know the suites are filled. We know the sponsorships they've got. So what? Why aren't you doing this? Well, if you're doing this because you want to save a little bit more money, it's a cash crunch, not a cap crunch, a cash crunch, mm-hmm. in their minds. Again, it's not like they're losing money. It's just mm-hmm. like they want to keep more of it. Okay, it's your right. But then it's also our right to say you've weakened the team for this. Not for football reasons, not for cap reasons, for cash in your owner's pocket reasons. And it's fair to judge a team based on that. They're at that place right here. And get, you know, I think we're all assuming that Brandon Ayuk can get traded at some point. They're not going to get the same value in return. This is a failure of the 49ers management, the way they do business, the way they calculate things, and it's weakened them.
And you mentioned Brock Purdy. It's going to have an effect on him too. And I'm not coming at from one of these people that's like, Brock is only good because of his weapons, but he has tremendous chemistry with Brandon Ayuk. Brock Purdy is still a very young quarterback. He has only played just a little over a season of football. Because he came in December of 2022, and sometimes I think we forget that because he seems so mature. He's played a little bit over a season of football. You are taking away someone that he relies on, that he trusts, that he knows will catch the ball when he throws it, and it just seems so odd and short-sighted to me. And maybe it does cost them in week six, but I think it costs them in the playoffs.
Like, I think a little bit better. I like the way Barros puts it, is if you're basing this whole offense and maybe the whole team on Brock Purdy for the next 5 years, what's the offensive player who you're writing down with him for those 5 years? Mm-hmm. What player? Deebo Samuel? Probably not.
Nope.
Trent Williams? Absolutely not. Christian McCaffrey, we know that running back's primes, or he's kind of at the middle end of it at this point. He's not going to be a superstar at 35. Mm-hmm. The one offensive player that you know who has accomplished a lot and yet still will be there with Purdy in 5 years is Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. And so you're pulling that out, and so you don't know who's Ricky Pearsall. You haven't even seen him play an NFL snap yet, mm-hmm. and you're writing him in as that guy. This gets really risky. And then, they can just take a receiver with this pick they get. Let's see, Dante Pettis with a second-round pick. I seem to recall that one. Danny Gray with a third-round pick. Like, there is no guarantee, even with a first-round pick, which I do not believe they'll get. Maybe from Pittsburgh, maybe that's – but not from New England. Like, they're not getting a first-round pick from New England if that's the trade. You're 50-50, Trace. You're like, who knows? You might get another Ricky Pearsall, and that's fine, but – do you know that that's going to be a stud receiver? You don't. And maybe that's the high end of what you're going to get. You can get Jalen Reagor. You can get whoever all these first round picks have fallen into. Some are good, some are bad. You know Brandon Ayuk fits. Mm-hmm. You know he fits the culture of the locker room. We know that Kyle Shanahan, who was very tough on receivers, right? Former mm-hmm. receiver, has gone through some of these guys, Dante Pettis being one of them. And he's gone through it with Ayuk. They didn't love each other for a year or so, and now he is the ideal receiver in the Shanahan system. Does that mean he's worth $32 million a year? Probably not, but it means you could have figured this out and got it done for 28 probably 3 months ago. That's the error.
Yeah.
And you don't have him, Tracy. What are you going to do to replace him? What are you going to have to pay to try to get another guy? Amari Cooper is like 28, $25 million. Like, these guys are not cheap.
No.
And I don't think he comes close to replacing him. Kendrick Port, obviously, they could have kept him last time and they didn't.
Right.
This is a problem. This is a problem. And this is not something they've gone through recently. And I didn't think they would go through it now. And here they are.
And when you say they could have done it 3 months ago, the thing is that's interesting to me, too, is after the Super Bowl, and granted, they were all very emotional. It was a tough loss, but it was very clear that Brandon Ayuk, his level of emotion was different. He was almost crying in the locker room when they were cleaning out their lockers. And someone said to him, do you want to stay here? And he said, if it's the right thing. And they said, what would make it the right thing? And he said, a championship, which didn't really at the time make a lot of sense. Like, did he want to be traded to the Chiefs? Like, that didn't make a lot of sense at the time. But you had a guy at that point who was emotional, who all of these things a month later, 2 months later, come in and be like, all right, we are all in to win a Super Bowl and you're part of that. And here's a $28 million a year contract. Let's do this. Because also a first round pick from the, let's pretend they got a first round pick from the Steelers. A first round pick next year from the Steelers isn't going to do them a lot of good this year. And next year, a lot of the guys you mentioned aren't going to be on this team. So that is interesting. And then you brought up Trent Williams, and I think it's worth at least touching on that because this is another one they've known about for a while. And what is taking so long? They have no backup plan for Trent Williams. Zero.
Yeah, Jalen Moore. Come on now, Tracy.
Moore. No disrespect to Mr. Moore, who's, I'm sure.
Colton McKivitz on the right and Jalen Moore on the left. That's a Super Bowl.
There you go. Set of tackles and no Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, go, Brock. Go get him. Go get him, Brock.
We wish you
luck. I think it goes back again. I don't think the 49ers look back on the Bosa situation fondly, not the negotiators at least. But I was hearing during the Bosa deal, it's like, if you're going to pay him $34 million, which is what the end, that's what it's going to take. It's Nick Bosa. He's not taking less. The Bosa family was, they were ready to sit out the entire season. This is the Bosa. Well, at least and until they had, come back with six left, and so you can get the contract to toll so he can be a free agent. But like, why have a mess his entire training camp and preseason? Why not do that in, freaking July? Mm-hmm. Why did you have to do it? And that's the point that does drive agents crazy. I know. And we've heard this over and over again. I hear this from people around the NFL. 49ers are smart. 49ers end up paying money to their good players. They don't, they're not known for shorting they want to win every deal, and they come up, small. They come up until July 29th, they're at way lower than you think they'd be, way lower. Then they come up and they come up and they come up, and they're just like, well, if you're going to do this, why won't you do it in July? How come you have to wait till August, August 15th, whatever? This is coming back to bite them. I don't really understand. What people say is they want to win every deal. They just want to win every deal. And at some point, assembling a roster like this, when you're trying to win a Super Bowl and not try to win a Super Bowl of finance, they're trying to win a Super Bowl of the NFL. You have to lose, or you have to be willing to sort of lose some negotiations. They did lose the Bosa situation. I think they might have gone the opposite way and then swearing they're never going to lose another negotiation. And that's a tough way to exist when you've got these star players. It's very tough.
Well, I'm going to say something really profound, Tim. If you're not willing to win it in July, you're not going to win it in February.
Wow. Very good. Very good. You can't lose a champion. I'll put it the different way. You can't win a championship in July, but maybe you can lose one.
There you go. There you go. Look at us. We're just dropping things now.
This is just raw. This is like a workshop theater here. We're just trying stuff. How I think Tennessee Williams wrote the cat on a hot tin roof. I think this is exactly how it worked out.
I hope they interview us for the Brandon Ayuk 30 for 30 and then we can say our little pieces. Well, by the time this comes out, he might be a Steeler. He might be a Brown. He might be a Patriot. He might be a 49er. I did make a joke to someone earlier and said, you realize after all this, he's just going to end up playing on the fifth year option.
Yeah, that part I've never really thought. And I really, really don't think that.
No, it's not. It's definitely not going to happen. But, at this point, he kind of holds all the cards. And
that's what, I know the 49ers do hold some leverage because of that fifth year option, because they can tag him after this year. But it's not. It's up to the player, right? It's it's leverage if the player thinks it's leverage. Right. If he's going to hold out, or if he's going to cause some disturbances or make things uncomfortable or just be someone who doesn't want to be there, he's got some leverage. I think it's emotional leverage. And again, I don't think the 49ers played that out. I don't think they calculated it correctly, and we're seeing the result of it. And I think this is tiresome to Shanahan. It's tiresome to Lynch. It's tiresome to the whole operation. However they feel they've handled this, they've handled it wrong. And it's blowing up in their face right now.
And it's the kind of thing, and I hope for their sake it doesn't, but it's the kind of thing that if they lose him and they don't win the Super Bowl, this is where it starts to fracture. And this is where you start to get a crack in the marble. And this is where all kinds of things change. So we'll see what happens. And I will say one last thing. I think a little leverage that Ayuk also has is, and I understand we're very early, but Ricky Pearsall has been injured pretty much since he got there. He had a blue jersey on OTAs. He's back. He re-aggravated his shoulder injury. I think there's also a little bit of Ayuk being like, I missed one game this year.
Yeah, that's like what fans were saying. You know what? Ricky Pearsall's looked great. They could just replay. It's been like four practices. Four practices does not prove anything in the NFL. It means you've been good for four practices. Then you got to be good for 14. Then you got to be good for 24. And then you got to be good for a game. And then 10 games. And then into the playoffs. It's insanity that you think Ricky Pearsall is any leverage. And again, maybe the 49ers try to use it as leverage. I don't dispute.
I think Brandon Ayuk can use him as leverage. I think the only person who can use him as leverage is Brandon Ayuk. And I'm sure it won't even come up, but I think he would be the only person who could be like, well, the guy that you drafted to potentially replace me or Debo can't seem to stay on the practice field. So what do you want me to do about it? But we shall see what happens. Tim, thank you for joining me. Let everyone know where they can read your fantastic column and find you.
It's in The Athletic, or it's on the podcast on the TK Show feed on Odyssey. I put out three or four, sometimes two or three or four. A podcast a day. No, not a day. What are we talking about?
Well,
a week?
We're only human.
Yeah, the TK Show, 49ers Plus Minus with Matt Barros, and North and South with Dylan Hernandez. These are the TK Show feed. Subscribe wherever you find your podcast.
Fantastic. And guys, don't go away, because we have Darrell Luter coming up next to talk about that play in the Super Bowl moving forward and his second year. So stay tuned. All right, Darrell, so this is obviously a very different training camp for you. Second-year players talk all the time about how getting ready for the draft makes it very different. And, of course, you started last training camp healthy or not healthy. So what is it like being healthy this time and really being able to participate?
Oh, man, it's been nothing but a blessing. Like, I'm constantly thinking about how things were last year and, you know, not being able to participate and, you know, do the things that the team is doing, you know, and – you know, me being able to do it for myself is just so important and so exciting for me and very overwhelming. So I'm just grateful to, you know, come out of OTAs healthy, be able to do training camp and, you know, still be healthy through it all. So Lord say the same, that I pray that I'm healthy even after training camp. So
what was your off-season program like?
So majority of the time that I was here working out, you know, we had a couple guys, you know, like Fred and them, Flan and all them still here. So we was always here at a decent time, getting our work in on the field and in the weight room. So majority of the time I was here, and I maybe took like a week off and had like a family vacation. And then I was back at it, you know, just making sure that I was on top of things, you know, getting myself prepared and ready for training camp.
Is it motivating to have veterans like that who are there and Fred Warner specifically at the top of his game, but there every day just working in the off season?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm constantly looking at these veterans and how they move around, how they prepare themselves, take care of their bodies. And I've been doing that since, you know, day one when I first got here. So, you know, being able to pick up on those habits that they do has been helping me out a lot.
When you were drafted, the organization talked a lot about your maturity. And I remember specifically Adam Peters saying that you were among maybe the most mature player that they had ever drafted at that point. Can you talk a little bit about where that came from? Has it always been your personality? Did life just happen and make it that way, or kind of how that all began?
Oh, man. So like, kudos to my mom and dad. Like, they done a great job raising not only me, but my three other brothers as well. So, but I also would say, like, with football, I left the house. I got out of the house pretty early. So, you know, like just moving out, you know, that kind of all those experiences that you kind of face, you know, being on your own, you know, I kind of had some life lessons from that, and I learned and continue to learn each and every day. And, you know, that's probably like why they got me to that maturity level that I am. So
how does that help in terms of maybe not getting to be with your wife and daughter as much as you would like to be, just because obviously you're busy practicing, you're at games. I don't know where they live, but how does that maturity keep you kind of strong and focused?
I mean, it's tough, I'm not going to lie. But like, you know, my whole football career, I've kind of been through it. And, you know, even ever since I started dating my wife now, you know, she's been on that same career path as me, you know, going through everything, the training camp in college and all that. So she kind of knows like what's to come, how that all works. And of course, it's a little different now, than in college. But, you know, she makes it a lot easier. I mean, it's tough on her too, though, still at the same time, because of course she misses me. And, you know, she loves to help around the house when I'm there. And, you know, it's just a matter of just being comfortable and just, you know, just working things out.
So when I think about your maturity and things that you've been through as a rookie, I want to go back to the Super Bowl for a second. Probably not the most favorite of topics, but something weird happened. It was, you know, most likely just a fluke of something that happened, but it happened in your rookie year in the Super Bowl. How were you able to put it behind you? Have you put it behind you? And who did you lean on for that?
Oh, man. It was a tough moment. Not going to lie, it was a tough moment. It just felt like everything was all on me, you know, and, you know, you can't really, when you, I've rewinded that play, like, I don't know how many times. So it's like, you're like, what can you do better? Or, you know, is it truly your fault, you know, or whatever. But it's just, I'm constantly talking with my wife about it. You know, she helps me out, keeps me at a level head. And so, like, you know, that's where I found that place, that peace, you know, with that situation. And yeah, she's helped me out a lot just trying to get over that and, you know, moving forward.
When you look at the cornerback room, which might actually be the deepest cornerback room the 49ers have had in quite some time, with Charvarius Ward and Deommodore Lenore and the level they're playing at, what do you learn from them on the field, off the field? And well, we'll start there.
I would say how they attack the day, you know, just coming in, being prepared for meetings, and, you know, they're real smart. So, like, the things that they key, you know, and that they look at on the field day in and day out, you know, with the different plays that we have, like, man, I grasp all that. I absorb everything, every little thing that they do, and I try to put that, you know, into my game. So yeah.
So with Renardo Green coming in, obviously he's very young and you've only been in the league a year, but are there things you're able to impart for him?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, you know, you see all these veterans, you see how they practice, you know, you see the tempo that they have, you know, it's kind of the same. It don't change. You know, we're trying to prepare for a game, you know, so the way you practice is the way you play. So it's just, you know, seeing all those little things that veterans do, you know, whether it's the tempo, how they run to the ball, pursuing, you know, how they're communicating, talking throughout the whole play from the point of the snap, you know, and everything. So yeah, I would tell him, you know, just see all that kind of changing your tempo, you know, try to be a true vet, you know, even though you're still a rookie, you know, try to turn those things into, you know, what a true vet will do. You know, like I said, the way you pursue into the ball, the tempo, you know, the effort, you know, the communication, you know, always just being energetic and coachable, you know, and everything. So
training camp is clearly a grind, but you guys do get off days. And this is something that I've kind of wondered, and maybe it's player to player. Do you get to take a true off day, or are you just not practicing that day?
I would say it's not truly an off day because you want to take care of your body. Now, the thing about it is, like, they try to get those things done in early. That way, the rest of the day, you can kind of do whatever you want. If you got a family, you can go be with them, or if you want to catch up on your rest, just whatever. But, you know, I would say not truly an off day. Me personally, like, I want to make sure that my body is good and is healthy for the next day, because the next day we're back at practice, you know, so that's how I see it. That's how most of the other guys are doing too, to kind of just taking care of their bodies, you know, making sure it's healthy, it's good, you know, and that you're able to attack the next day. So.
And my last one is, you have a new defensive coordinator this year. You were injured for much of your time with your defensive coordinator last year. What has it been like working with Nick Sorensen, and how has he specifically kind of helped your game?
Yeah, he's been great. You know, even ever since last year, you know, we've talked every now and then, and, you know, he's always been positive, always encouraged me on the things that I've done. You know, he's always, you know, gave me criticism, good criticism on the things that I need to do better, and the thing, you know what I'm saying? So even just now, like, he's constantly, he'll talk with me. He'll pat me on the back on the things that I've been doing, always telling me, you know, I've been progressing and progressing each and every day. And just him as a coach, man, I can tell that, you know, he's real comfortable now, and, you know, and it's just a great spot for him to be in right now. So
do you have a goal for the season, or goals?
Man, I do. Number one, of course, is, of course, make 53-man roster. Number two, to be a starter on the other side, you know, as a corner. Number three, Lord say the same, you know, have a great season to where, you know, my expectations are high. So, of course, I want to be an all-pro. So let's be all pro this year. You know, Lord say the same. I get the playing time that I get, you know, just making the best of each and every rep, and, you know, and just seeing how that takes off, and you know, hopefully that we go, preferably we go to the Super Bowl. That's another goal. That's a long-term goal on later on down the line. So
awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Jarrell. I appreciate it.
Crazy.
All right, everybody, we are brought to you by FIVO. We are brought to you by Bet Online. If you liked what you heard, and I know that you did, please give us a 5-star rating and a wonderful review. You can find me on X at TracyFGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler, and all of our things at FGSN.com. I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye.